beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure under it. There is a promise of an escape route in temptation. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, God, lead us in the way of escape that you are providing. God will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. We know that. We trust the Bible. It is his word in 1 Corinthians 10:13. But in 2 Corinthians, the very beginning in chapter 1, verse 8, Paul and Timothy are writing to the church, and they are preaching to you as I am in this very moment. They are saying to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that they were burdened beyond their ability, beyond their own strength. It was more than they can bear. True, absolute despair. In verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. In counseling terms, we call that suicide ideation. To get to the place where your life itself, it would be better if I wasn't alive. To be at a place where you feel this incredible sense of, I can't do it. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there this morning. But the words go on in 1 Corinthians, which is amazing. In the honesty of it, it's incredibly honest of the Apostle Paul and Timothy, these great spiritual leaders of the church. And in their honesty, we were utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves. Wow. Makes sense, doesn't it? If we have despair that is beyond our own strengths, then we need to find strength beyond ourselves. And that's where the next part goes. But that is to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. What a beautiful, powerful picture. Life in the face of death. He delivered us, God delivered us from such a deadly peril, verse 10, and he will deliver us. Isn't that amazing? It's not like, oh yeah, I used to have that problem, and I prayed and God delivered me, and now I'm good. Presupposes that you will struggle again. He will yet deliver us. He is our constant deliverer. This world has a way of beating us up. If we are honest, we will always find disappointment in this world. C.S. Lewis says, if this world does not meet the cravings and the desires that you long for, could it be that you were created for another world? That is our hope. Over these 3 weeks, we've been looking at living hope. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians, he delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us. And listen to this, you know this because we've been preaching on it for these 3 weeks. And on him we have set our hope, and he will deliver again. That's not my words. This is the word of the Lord. And this is our hope. As a church, we set our hope on Christ. We love each other. You love me as your pastor. I know it. I feel it so many ways. God is causing a love in my heart to extend to you. But we put our hope not in the pastor, in the Lord. We put our hope in the very one who can give life out of our death and our despair. My dear friends, I want to declare to you this morning this very hope from Romans chapter 15. It is a wonderful passage. I invite you to turn there. Romans 15. We're going to look at verse 1 to 13. But I want you to consider with me, this is the last sermon in this series, Living New Life, Living Hope. four simple words that really started, if you were with us, in 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. New life, born again, spiritual life, coming alive on the inside to a living hope, a hope to live by through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. That was 1 Peter 1:3, 2 weeks ago. And then last Sunday we looked at Romans 6, verse 4, that as we are united with Christ in His death and resurrection, it is so that we will walk in newness of life. This is our message. New life. Not just something we believe cognitively or even feel in our hearts, but it's so captivating of our lives that we actually live it. We walk by hope. Because we don't have hope in ourselves, in the Christ who saves us. And then this morning we come to Romans 15. I think we need to pray. And I pray that God will bring this truth to bear on your soul in such a wonderful, overwhelming sense in these moments that you will believe and you will walk by faith in this living hope. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that you will speak by your Holy Spirit. This is your word. No one knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God, and we confess that, and so we need you to teach us. Where we are distracted, would you focus our minds? Would you let us hear? Would you give us ears to hear the power of the truth of this message in Romans 15, that we would see you? Father, I pray that you would whisper into my ear and you would say, Norm, this message is for you. I pray that you would whisper into my wife's ear and say, Leona, this message is for you. Father, I pray that all around this room, for every person that is seated here, that you would whisper into their ear. That you would say their name. And by the Holy Spirit, these words would breathe life. And you would say, this message is for you. Endurance, encouragement, and hope that is in Christ alone. Father, speak. For your servants are listening. And in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior, and our Lord, the Master, over all our being, our thoughts, and our affections, we pray. Amen. I do invite you to take your Bibles. And Romans 15, verse 1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with your his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol you. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Do you hear his voice? This message is for you. It is the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. It is the Holy Spirit that brings personal awakening. It is the Holy Spirit who is going to use God's word to give us this very hope that we are talking about. Let me show you what I mean. Look at the very last verse. Verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. By faith, what is written in the scriptures is what I think he's saying here. But look what it says. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In a great quantity. But look how it starts. Go back to verse 3. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on him. The focus is on Christ in verse 3. And look at verse 4. For whatever was written, the whole Old Testament, I believe he's focusing on the writings in former days, whatever was written through the prophets was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So how do we have hope? Verse 13 says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will have hope. Verse 4 says that through the scriptures you will have hope. I believe that's very intentional. It is by the Holy Spirit that brings the scriptures to life. Now, this is Paul's idea all the way through. The context of these verses at the end of the book of Romans here is that we would love one another, that we would be unified in our faith in Christ. And the whole focus is on Christ. That's where he begins in verse 3. And then he says we're encouraged, endurance and hope in the scriptures. But look at verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony. This is not just to build us up so we can have don't worry, be happy kind of weeks. No, it's so that we will actually live a certain way in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus in verse 5. And then he continues on. So with one voice, you'll glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another. How? As Christ. It is the imitation of Christ he is talking about. So in all these matters, if you went back to chapter 14, the chapter just before he's talking about food that you would eat and drinking wine and how you, which day you consider as holy and celebrating feasts. Look at chapter 14, verse 5. One person esteems one day better than another, while another esteems another. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Then look at verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Convinced in your own mind, but with a clear conscience before God. Then in verse 14, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing in itself is unclean, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. And he's talking about eating and drinking. I think it shows grace in all of these secondary issues. Look at verse 20. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Verse 21. It's good for you not to eat or drink wine, eat meat or drink wine, or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. See, this is the context of these verses. Chapter 14 and 15 is about living, just like chapter 15 says in verse 5 and 6, to live in such harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together with one voice we would glorify God in the way we live. That's the idea of the first three verses. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. And what he means here is the weak in conscience. For the one who feels it's okay to drink a glass of wine with a nice meal at a wedding, and you don't have a problem with drinking too much, should bear with the one who has a weakness to drink. And it is out of love that we do this. If we never drink wine again, is it not okay? Out of love? That's what Paul is calling us to. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. See, this is the wonderful message he's saying, because that's how Christ treated us. And then he focuses on Christ. But verse 4 seems to take a bit of a sideways step. Look what he does. He has just said in verse 3, he uses Christ as the example, and then he begins, as it is written. How do we know that we should follow the example of Christ? Because it is written in God's word. And the rest of these verses that we're going to look at today, he is saying, because it's in God's word. So think about the sermons we've heard on hope. It's God who causes us to be born again in this living hope that you become a Christian. You are born again. You must be born again, spiritually alive. And when you are alive, you walk in newness of life to please the Lord. And when you do, and you grow weary in well-doing, and you want to give up, where will you get endurance? Where will you get encouragement and hope? From the Word of God. This is why our church says our foundation is we are devoted to prayer and the ministry of God's Word. I want to call you again to pray with us this afternoon. Right after the service, we'll be done at 12:30. You can still grab a lunch. But as a church and as an individual Christian, hear this word to you. If you are discouraged, if you feel despair, if you feel like it's beyond your strength, where will you get your encouragement? Look at verse 4. I want you to read it with your own eyes. That's why we have all these extra Bibles. Pull one out of the pew, put away your phone, and read it in the Bible. Through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, you might have hope. Now, why? Because it is the scriptures that reveal Christ to us, who is our hope. We do not believe in Father, Son, and Holy Bible. We believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are in this passage. It is Christ who is our focus. It's by this focus, it's by the Spirit that the scriptures come alive to teach us. And it is God, our Father, who is revealed, as we'll see in a minute. Look how it goes on. He describes in verse 5 and 6 and 7 that it is Christ's likeness, in accord with Christ in verse 6. Welcome one another as Christ in verse 7. And then he gets to the heart of it in verse 8 to 13 about God's word. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, to the Jewish nation, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarch. Where are the promises given to the patriarchs? We find them in the Old Testament and scriptures. But it was God who spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was that the promises of God would be fulfilled in Christ. And this is written so that they would believe the promises of God. And then look at verse 9. And in order, he used the exact same phrase, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And what does he do immediately? As it is written. And then he quotes an Old Testament passage, 2 Samuel. You can look it up later. Verse 10. And again, it is said. And what does he do? He quotes an Old Testament passage in Deuteronomy 32. And again, it is said in verse 11. And he quotes Psalm 117. And then in verse 12, and again Isaiah said, and he quotes Isaiah 11. Why does he do this? Because he has just said that it is Christ. As it is written, this is our solid foundation. And then he gives example after example after example. And what is the entire purpose of it all? Where is he moving in all of these things that are written down to the end of verse 12? So that what? Read it. Verse 12, in him will the Gentiles hope. Wow. My friends, if you are here this morning and you are discouraged and despair and you say, yes, Pastor, I need hope. Where is it found? Romans 15 tells us it is in the scriptures. That's where hope is found. Let me read verse 4 for you again. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. And how? Because verse 13, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you might abound in hope. It's not just some kind of wild, woolly experience. It is the actual revelation of God himself. And the Spirit opens our minds to understand and believe. That's what it says in verse 13. That God fills you with joy and peace in believing what the scriptures are saying. This is our absolute foundation. It is the source of our hope, is God's written word. The word of God, by the Spirit of God, will give us the hope of God. Believing these promises. In this world, we are burdened. We do face despair. But we have a hope beyond this world. This is the last of three sermons. 1 Peter 1-3 said, God caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hope connected to Christ. That was our very first sermon. Last week we looked at Romans 6. It says we are what? United with Christ in his death and his resurrection, so that we would walk in newness of life, united with Christ. And here this morning we have this powerful expression that it is Christ who is revealed to us in the scriptures. So where do you find hope? You look at verse 4, you find hope in the scriptures. But what about verse 5? Read it in your Bible. God is the God of endurance. We are not just reading about him. We know him and we believe in him and we come to him. He is the God of endurance. When you say, I'm in such despair, it's beyond what I can handle, there is endurance in God because it's who he is. He is the God of endurance. And guess what? He is the God of encouragement. Read it right in verse 5. Now may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live. If only it said, may the God of hope. It does. Look at verse 13. As I was reading this week, I thought, this is our hope. Not in ourselves, because we don't have strength, but in God, who is our hope. Four little words. New life, living hope. The very first sermon we started with in 1 Peter 1:3, remember, it talks about living hope. And a few verses later I preached, it talks about that we learn and understand by the living word, exactly like Romans here in agreement, by the living word. And it says, this word is the message we declared to you. And then a few verses later, if you remember that sermon, it says that Christ is the living stone. And then a few verses later, if you remember in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, it says we are being built into the house of God as living stones. Christ is the living stone, and we are being transformed to be like him, built into the house. And then do you remember how it ends in chapter 3? That we should always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Why do these three sermons matter to us as First Baptist Church at this place in our history, at this time? because this is our message to the world. We are praying that all those around us and those that are your neighbors across your fence, that you and I will give a reason for the hope that is within us. I don't know that this is what our logo is going to look like. But I asked Fred, I said, can you just whip something up for me for Sunday? Can you just show us that this is the message we want to communicate, because this is God's message to us. New life, you must be born again. And when you are, it is a hope to live by, a new way of living. And it is a hope in God himself that will sustain you, that will give you endurance to the very end, that will encourage you, and that we will give a reason for this hope. I put another one. You can put the next one up there, Irene. I said, I want to have a cross on it. I want us to start with Christ. And then Fred just put this together. I don't know if this is what it's going to look like, but we want you to begin to pray about it as a church, to begin to say, if this is what God is calling us to be, then we want to communicate this and let it so captivate your heart that you would begin to pray, God, would you put this message in my mouth? That I would be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within me. Now, I want to close this service with verse 5 and verse 13, because I don't know if you noticed, they're a prayer. Verse 5 and 13 is a prayer. May God do this. May God do this. So would you join your hearts with me as we close in prayer? Father, I pray again that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to each of us and say, this message is for you. For those you have called, I pray that our eyes are opened, our ears are opened. God, would you call us? And Father, I pray that you, the God of endurance and encouragement, and verse 13, the God of hope, that you would fill us with joy and peace in our faith, that we have put our hope in Christ, like verse 12. And Father, I pray that we would live in harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ. And by the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures, you would captivate our hearts to be people of your word, and that by your Holy Spirit we would abound in hope. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.